The National Institutes of Health and the University of Wisconsin-Madison are teaming up as part of a nationwide effort to speed up health research. And they hope to enroll, guess what, 1 million people to create a biobank of health information. I'm Larry Mueller. Thanks for joining us here on the Ideas Network. Always great to have you come by and listen in. And here's something that you might be able to be a part of. So I hope you keep listening here as we talk with our two guests, Dorothy Farrar-Edwards, a principal investigator for the All of Us UW-Madison site. So All of Us. And Tricia Denman, a research project manager. And so they're going to tell us about the program and how the information is going to be used and maybe how you can get involved. Dorothy, welcome. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us.
Oh, thanks for having us, Larry.
And Tricia, thank you as well. Good to see you.
Hi, Larry. Thanks.
Really, really great to have you along today as we talk about this program. And maybe to start with, you can talk about your own backgrounds. Dorothy, you want to talk about it and how it relates to this?
How I got into this project? Well, I'm happy to talk about that. So I'm a faculty member here at UW in the School of Education and also in the School of Medicine and Public Health. And my research up to All of Us has primarily been on Alzheimer's disease and stroke. And so I'm part of the Alzheimer's Disease Research Center trying to find participants for our Alzheimer's studies here at UW. And because of my work in the community around recruitment, I was asked to join the All of Us project because we have a big recruitment goal. We're trying to find 100,000 people here in the state of Wisconsin who are willing to help us further this precision health and precision medicine effort. So all of my background in terms of research recruitment, community engagement, and education made me kind of a likely suspect to help out with this.
Yeah, makes perfect sense for sure. Tricia, what about you?
So I started in the clinical world prior to coming into research and have several years of clinical trial research experience. And so part of building this infrastructure here at UW to have the ability to recruit and enroll participants, a lot of that is based around clinical trial research logistics. And so I was brought on board from the Office of Clinical Trials initially and then was brought fully on board to the All of Us team.
And the All of Us team, tell us about All of Us. What's the background here of this All of Us research program?
So the All of Us research project is a national project funded by the National Institutes of Health, and it's actually an outgrowth of work done by Dr. Francis Collins, who is the director of NIH. He was really well known for his research on the human genome. So this project was his baby, and it also ties into the Affordable Care Act. So part of it had its beginnings in the Affordable Care Act in terms of the use of electronic health records to help further the health of the nation. NIH put this project together and invited our colleagues here in Wisconsin. We're part of a consortium with the Marshfield Clinic and the Medical College of Wisconsin, and we were asked to submit a proposal. And it was approved in August of 2017. And so we're working really closely with the Marshfield Clinic and the Medical College of Wisconsin. And UW has a team on the ground in Milwaukee as well through the Center for Community Engagement and Health Partnerships. So we try to cover the whole state because we need to find 100,000 participants in the state of Wisconsin. So we're all working together to make that possible.
Ooh, 100,000.
Yeah, it's a lot.
That is a lot. So what are these people going to be doing if they're enrolled in this?
So this is a really digital-first program. So the initial part of signing up for the program is visiting the joinallofus.org website. And there's multiple different videos to watch, information to gather there to answer questions. And then you can go to the login section where you'll create an account. And from there, it will guide you through the entire consent process. We ask for an overall general consent. We also ask for consent to your electronic health record. record, which we send de-identified to Vanderbilt. And then we have you complete an initial 3 questionnaires. And then that makes you eligible to perform the in-person visit, which we have multiple sites here in Madison and in Milwaukee, where you can do the in-person visit, which takes about 30 minutes. We do some physical measurements, collect some blood and some urine, and then you get $25 cash to become a full participant.
Very, very cool. Now, this whole thing centers around precision medicine. Is
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. And talk a bit more about precision medicine.
Well, I think the term precision medicine is becoming more common these days. We hear about it particularly in the cancer world, that treatments are really being tailored to the individual's genetic characteristics and trying to make our prevention diagnosis and treatments much more attuned to individual needs and characteristics, because we're not all alike. So in order to be able to do that more effectively, we need a lot of data from a lot of people in order to drive this process forward, hence a million participants in order to make precision health and precision medicine possible.
So 100,000, did you say?
I said 100,000 in Wisconsin, together with our partners. I mean, we're not, UW isn't doing it alone. We're working closely with our partners at Marshfield and at the Medical College of Wisconsin. So we're all in it together.
And how are you going about, I suppose this is one way that you're going about collecting.
This is one very important way.
Talking with people who are listening here on Wisconsin Public Radio, but how are you going about the whole process?
Well, publicity. We have a website, we have a Twitter account, we have a Facebook account, but actually, and we have real people at the end of the telephone. So when someone has a question, we have someone who has the information available to answer. We do a lot of community engagement and personal appearances. We're very, very active in the community. In fact, at all of our locations in Marshfield and Milwaukee and Madison, there's a lot of activity this summer. We're sponsoring, we're one of the sponsors of Dane Dances. We were at the Yahara Music Festival. We're going to be at the Mallards game, I believe, this Friday. So we're out and about in the community talking about all of us, what precision health is, what participation looks like, and we're there to answer questions, let people know. But programs like this are really important because we know that Wisconsin Public Radio is a trusted source of information. And not everybody has thought about research participation before, and so we're trying to bring new people into the project who may not have thought about it before. So hearing about it from a trusted source is really important.
That's the other important part of our program, is we're our funding is tied to recruiting 40% from underrepresented groups, which not only includes race and ethnicity, but rural populations, low socioeconomic, LGBTQ, so many, many other groups of folks who have traditionally not been represented in research.
Well, I'll see you Friday night at the Mallards game, and it's just sort of a tie-in with that. I'll be there with the son of a good friend of mine who died of pancreatic cancer at the ripe old age of 48, and so as I'm thinking about this, is there some long-term perhaps benefits to someone with pancreatic cancer, or who might all be helped by this?
Well, we know that there's a genetic component to many kinds of cancers and many, many other chronic diseases. And so it takes a lot of people to be able to understand these relationships. For me, for example, I was a volunteer, and I joined because my brother was 42 when he died of a heart attack, and I've had hypertension Strangely enough, since I was 20. You know, I weighed about 100 pounds. I never smoked. I never had any of the traditional risk factors, and yet I've had pretty severe hypertension since I was almost a teenager. So in my family, heart disease is a big problem, and I wanted to understand why. And so often personal health questions drive people to the project, because through this large data set, investigators will be able to really much more quickly understand the nature of some of these diseases. And I'll give you another example from my Alzheimer's work.
Hold on to that example, because we're going to be taking a quick break here to take a look at the news, weather, find out what else is in store for us here on the Ideas Network. And as you listen in to our two experts talk, I hope you'll join in with your questions or comments about this program. All of Us is the name of the program, All of Us. And it's a great research program. And our guest today to talk about it, Dorothy Farrar Edwards, principal investigator for the All of Us UW-Madison site, and Tricia Denman, research project manager at UW-Madison. We'll be back with our guests right after this look at the news. So you stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. We're talking about the All of Us research program, and people in that program are looking for 100,000 Wisconsin participants. So here's a chance for you maybe to get involved. So keep listening as we talk with our two guests, Dorothy Farrar Edwards, principal investigator for the All of Us UW-Madison site, and Tricia Denman, who's a research project manager. The goal of the project, help researchers understand more about why people get sick or why they stay healthy. Look at that, too. And certainly looking forward to hearing from you. What questions do you have about a project like this? We'd like to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. And you know, we broke for news, Dorothy. You were giving us an example.
Going to give you an example. So we know from our Alzheimer's research that African Americans are 100% greater risk than Caucasians.
100%?
100% greater risk. So Alzheimer's disease is a tremendous burden in the Black community, but we don't know why. It took 30 years to collect enough samples and enough health information to do the first genome-wide association study of African Americans. And they identified new genes. So the genes that affect late-onset Alzheimer's disease, the most common form in Caucasians, did not function the same way in African Americans. It took 30 years. That's an example of why such a large sample of 1 million people with the blood specimens and the health information are so important. Because we have these chronic diseases that affect parts of our communities that we don't know why some groups are more affected than others. We don't know the best ways to treat them. And this project is unique in that the focus on full inclusion of groups previously underrepresented in biomedical research. And it's very, very important that all communities benefit from this type of work.
Absolutely. Let's go back to the information. You talked a little bit about that, Tricia, but could you tell us a little bit more about the type of information, or what information will you be asking for?
Sure. So the questionnaires are considered what we call a basic lifestyle and health, just some general questions about how your lifestyle is, where you live, where you work, things like that. And then we also collect a blood sample and a urine sample. The urine sample is used to look for different toxins that participants have been introduced to throughout their lifetime, actually. And then we'll, for the blood, we will be running various biomarkers, assays, and we will also be giving a full genome sequence to everybody's DNA.
So, you know, if you're interested in knowing more about yourself.
Absolutely. This is really one of the other missions of the program, is to really help empower people to, you know, have more information about their own healthcare. And none of the information that we collect will go directly into anyone's electronic health record, but patients are always encouraged to bring, you know, our information to their physicians, you know, if they have questions. And you can also decline getting the return of information as well. You don't have to have it. So when your samples are ready, we will let you know, and you can say, yes, I want it. No, I don't. And that's your choice, of course.
John in West Allis emailed us a question. He's wondering how long the commitment is.
That's a great question, Larry. So the initial funding that we're working under right now is a 5-year funding, which is primarily focused on recruitment to getting these million participants. But we also are interested in following you for an additional 5 years, so a total of 10 years. So we'll continually, you know, touch base with you, ask you to possibly share some other questionnaire information. We also have the ability to collect Fitbit data, or we're working on collecting Apple Watch data. And then we'll also periodically pull data from your electronic health record to see how that changes over time as well.
I wonder if you are connected in any way with, or connecting in any way with, some of the fitness kinds of programs, like I'm in Map My Run, for example. And is there possibilities for collecting data from those kinds of sources?
Yeah, that. So this is really a huge and kind of underdeveloped kind of idea. There are tons and tons of tech companies that are interested in our data because of those reasons. So certainly things are going to evolve and change over 10 years. So I have no doubt that there'll be multiple opportunities for participants and
To get along.
Yeah.
So
probably
at 10 years. I was telling you during the news break that I'm part of something called Project Talent, which Stanford University started back when I was a junior in high school. And we had a battery of questions about our talents, I guess. So they're trying to discover them. And they're still kind of – I still get messages from them. And I always thought it was kind of an interesting – project, and I could see this as a really interesting project too.
Absolutely. So our participants do get full return of information, as I mentioned before, so that really empowers them. And not only the samples that we collect, but also the electronic health record information gets returned to them as well, so they can really keep on top of, you know, what's happening and to their health. And
yeah. Well, you can join in, too, and we'll take a call right now. For you, the number to call, 1-800-642-1234, or email us at ideas@wpr.org. Jennifer in Sparta, it's your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I just have a quick question. I just started listening, and I'm not sure if you've given out the information on how to become a participant, but that is my question.
Sure, you bet. So the easiest way is to go to joinallofus.org. Join all of us, all lowercase, all one word. And then you can just click the login button and it'll get you started right there. You create an account with your email and create a password, and then it'll lead you right into the consents. We also have a local website you can visit, which is allofus.wisc.edu. All lowercase. Or, of course, you can, if you want to speak to someone in person, you can call our call center, which that number is 888-294-2661.
That's 888-294-2661.
Yep.
2661. Jennifer, does that help?
That helps. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks
Thank you.
So much for calling. Appreciate it. We'll take another call as well. Again, you can join in at 800-642-1234. Give a call with your questions or comments. There will be some, you know, I would expect you'll have their emails and so forth. So, Dorothy, you were talking to me at one point about snap questions that might come up.
Right.
From time to time.
Right. So I have the All of Us app downloaded on my phone. And so you get a little notice that you have a message, and I found out last night there were new questions posted, went in and answered the questions, and found out that I'm just like most people. I wear sunscreen some of the time.
There you go. Well, Dave in Superior will give you a chance. Hi, Dave. Thanks for joining.
Dorothy?
Yes, I'm here, Dave.
You used a number with regard to Alzheimer's in the African-American community compared to, I assume that is, the population in general?
Compared to Caucasians, so the white
compared
population.
Compared to Caucasians. Well, I would like to have you clarify that a little bit, because you said there was 100% greater risk.
That's correct.
And that really doesn't speak to people. I would like to have you give the numbers in, say, cases per 1,000 population or what, something like that, because if there's one case in 1,000 for the Caucasian population, that would mean that there were two cases per thousand in the African-American population. So the increase of one case would be 100% increase.
All right. All right, Dave, thanks for calling. Can you do that, Dorothy?
Thanks, Dave. You're absolutely correct, and you nailed me. I'm a former statistics teacher, and so I probably would have asked that question myself if I were on the other side of the microphone. I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but I will tell you that the prevalence of Alzheimer's disease is substantially greater in African Americans. We don't know exactly why, but it probably will be due to vascular risk factors. We have a lot of research going on here at UW in our Alzheimer's Disease Research Center and the Wisconsin Alzheimer's Institute to actually answer those questions. But the best place to go for that information, which I wish I had in front of me, is the Alzheimer's Association at www.alz.org. They have an annual report that actually has all the prevalence and incidence data right up front in the report. So thank you for your question, and you're absolutely correct.
You know, as long as we're, I'm thinking about data here, and data security is probably something that, not everybody wants to have other people knowing, like the neighbors or something, knowing about their own medical history. What's the whole, how is data security handled? Tricia, you want to?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question, Larry. That's actually probably the number one question we get from patients and folks who are interested in participating in the program. So all of us, each kind of core of data, if you will, so the questionnaires, the blood and urine, those are all kept separately with different identifiers. Mayo Clinic is actually our partner, and they are storing and processing most of the blood and urine there, and that's kept secured with they don't even have any participant information. All they have is a number, and then everything else is kept on a separate number, and then the key is kept yet in a separate cloud. So it's all very separated. We also hire hackers to try to hack into our information, which they have not yet been successful to do that, but it's continually on the forefront. We have a certificate of confidentiality, which basically means that no one can subpoena our data, which becomes relevant in like 23andMe, probably seen in the news lately that they've been able to get 23andMe genetic data, thus finding a couple of serial killers. That would not happen with our data because it's protected under that certificate of confidentiality.
So there's pretty much no way.
I mean, we can never say 100%, right? Because there's a potential for something to happen, but it's probably as safe as you're going to get ever.
I see that when as I look, and it's not only you guys are with UW-Madison, but we've got Milwaukee involved.
Mm-hmm. And Marshfield.
So you got three different areas. You've got two major population areas, and the third, still a reasonably good population area, but there is a lot of rural area mm-hmm. there too.
And that's actually one of the underrepresented groups that we're targeting here in Wisconsin is rural folks.
Yeah, so you're going to be. That's going to be the harder one, I would think. Is there some travel involved with? There is some travel, at least once.
Yeah, I mean, we are kind of set up as a mobile team, so we can do enrollments kind of anywhere. We literally can pack up shop, go wherever, drop down, do enrollments for a day, and then pack up and head out. So we use community centers, we use churches, we use hotels, whatever, is convenient for participants to come and do. We also have regular spaces at all of the UW or most of the UW health clinics, of course, at UW Hospital, School of Nursing, the Natatorium, East Clinic, West Clinic, the American Center as well. So we really try to spread out so we can, get folks to make it as convenient as we possibly can for them to come in and enroll.
We have an enrollment site in Milwaukee as well. The Center for Community Engagement and Health Partnerships is actually a UW-Madison group that is doing community engagement and promoting research in Milwaukee. And so we have an enrollment site, or we will have an enrollment site. It's about to open in their office space at the Aurora outpatient facility in downtown Milwaukee. And the Medical College of Wisconsin has a number of sites in the Milwaukee area, going north to Waukesha and then going further south. So between, among us, Marshfield, Milwaukee, and UW, we pretty much can cover the entire state, and we're happy to go out and enroll people in rural locations in outside of Madison, Milwaukee, or Marshfield. We're really committed to making sure that anyone who wants to participate can enroll and do it easily.
And what's the age range that you're shooting for this?
That's great. Anyone 18 years and older can enroll.
Okay, so 18 and older, and,
yep.
And you're good to go. You're not, yep. Not taking kids or...
Not yet.
Not yet.
We're working on it.
So, all right. So that, well, that makes good sense to me, at least 18 or older. And again, the demographic you're looking for, what I guess what I've been thinking about a little bit is what would exclude, let's say I go and apply and fill out the form, what would kick me out?
Literally nothing. As long as you have the ability to give consent and can understand what you're signing up for, there's no reason that we would turn you away.
And all right. So, and what if I'm thinking back to my friend who had pancreatic cancer. What if you're doing the tests and so forth and there's a major, you know, the person has pancreatic cancer or some other disease they may not have even known about?
So the findings are returned to individuals, and when they we have not as a project started processing the blood samples, but if there's something clinically relevant, that person would be notified that something was found. And when we move on to the genomic analyses, we'll have genetic counselors available to actually discuss the results if there's something significant in the findings. All of that work is being done to make sure that we disclose information in an appropriate way and in an actionable way so that people can seek help if we find out something, if the project finds out, not just us here at UW, but anyone enrolled in the study would get supported disclosure of their information.
Okay, that so
directly to them.
Directly
so,
to
because
them.
Because we don't share their information with anybody, so they could choose to take it to their own primary care physician, but we wouldn't do that because we protect confidentiality.
Susan emailed and didn't say where she was emailing from, but she emailed to ask how can she get somebody to come to her area. I expect it may be an area, not one that we've mentioned so far.
Sure. So if it's an individual that's interested in signing up, or if you have a group of folks who you think might be interested in signing up, we're always interested in coming to speak to any type of group anywhere to give a presentation, and then we literally could set up to do enrollments there. So if it's on a group basis, we certainly can do that. And in terms of an individual basis, the easiest thing to do would be to reach out to our call center at that 800 number, and we could direct them to the nearest enrollment center.
And the information, let's talk a little bit more about how the information is going to be used, because I think that's really cool.
So the first curated data sets will be available at the end of this summer. There is a data portal, and in about the next 4 weeks, an individual, anyone can go in and pose a question to the data. How many people in all of us have had a stroke, for example? And you'll get the answer back right away. What are the characteristics of those individuals? So there'll be a query function available on the All of Us website that will allow anyone to go in and ask questions. But that's not research. So on the research side of it, the interested investigators will be able to pose a question. It will go through the same kind of human studies review to make sure that it's ethical and appropriate. And then a data set will be created out of the data collected from All of Us. And that investigator will log into the All of Us website to be able to do the analysis. The data will never move off of the All of Us server, but it will become available free of charge to anyone with a legitimate scientific question. You don't have to be a university professor. It will become universally available once the question itself has been vetted to be scientifically sound.
And then the researchers themselves who, let's say I'm a researcher for this, and I ask for some data, I get the data, I do some analysis, and then I get some findings from that. What about the publicizing or getting, is that information, does that get out to everybody?
Well, so those of us who are on the academic side of the world live by publication. That's how we're recognized for our work. So we expect that there will be many, many, many publications developed out of the All of Us data. Some of those are coming out already. The only requirement is that you acknowledge the All of Us program and the NIH funding. That's the really the only requirement. There's no review of scientific findings. There's no plan to constrain the way that the findings are promoted. And part of the All of Us program that makes it different than many other research programs is that we have a large public information arm to the project that really is there specifically to move findings into the public domain so that everyone benefits from the information that's being collected from the participants.
And once again, how does an individual sign up for the, or, you know, get online to look into it?
The easiest place is to joinallofus.org. Also, our local site is allofus.wisc.edu, or feel free to call our call center at 888-294-2661.
And when you're signed up, Dorothy, I heard you've got an app.
I do, on my phone.
Actually sign up through the app.
You can sign up through the app.
Go to the Play Store and download the app, and you can sign up right from the app.
Well, and how many people do we have signed up so far?
Well, nationally, we're at about 160,000 full participants and about 250,000 that have signed up for the program.
And Wisconsin, how are we doing here?
Well, unfortunately, they don't track us individual. We have 11 HPOs nationally, and so they really push that national number. That million is really what we're looking for.
But we haven't gotten to 100,000 in Wisconsin
yet.
That much we know.
That's right. That's that right.
I think they'll let us know when we hit the when we hit the jackpot with 100,000.
All right. So in the meantime, as you listen to this, I personally think it's a marvelous opportunity to become involved in a project not only that will benefit you, but think about how it might benefit your kids or the grandkids or just in general. And it's been a lot of fun talking with our two guests today, Dorothy Farrar Edwards. Dorothy, thank you so much.
Oh, thank you.
And also with Tricia Denman. Tricia, thank you.
Thanks,
so
Larry.
Much. Both involved in this project. Great to have them with us. And go online, take a look at it, and maybe you can sign up. Appreciate having them with us today. We'll get an update from them down the road and see how it's going and maybe get some answers, too. Tomorrow, Phil Pelletieri is back. In the meantime, thank you for listening. Stay with us. Lots in store.